Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello and welcome to the Match Ball for the West Ham game at home, Elland Road. Is that the first one of 2023?
Yes.
Good. Happy New Year. Dan Michael.
It's going to be a quiz.
Dan Michael and Rob with you. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. This is the quiz bit, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees and 15% until the end of January 2023 on...
Conveyancing.
And...
Oh, I'm too drained to do this.
Probate.
Wills.
Wills, probate and conveyancing. Check it out. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/... The square ball. Right then, do you want to unpick that? That's entertainment, isn't it?
It was entertainment of a sort.
I really enjoyed that. I weirdly really enjoyed it from the point we went a goal down. 2-1 down. And then there was that sense of, oh yeah, we're going to start attacking now, sort of give it a good go. And that's kind of what I've been wanting to see all along. And it was much more enjoyable for it.
Yeah, we are live on YouTube for our TSB Plus members. If you are listening afterwards or watching afterwards, details on the subs on our website. It ebbed and flowed, did that. I kind of enjoyed it in large stretches, that. But there was that spell when, after we'd gone in front, we decided to just completely lose our heads.
We've never seen that before, have we?
It was weird, wasn't it? It was like the football suddenly became like a hot potato and we didn't know what to do with it.
She's actually gone through, made some notes on this just before we went came on. I'm just thinking of when we've not managed to hold on to a lead. Wolves, we went ahead, didn't we? And then they equalised.
No, didn't they score straight away?
They scored straight away, fair enough. But Southampton, 2 down. Palace, we were a goal up there, weren't we? Fulham, we went a goal up. Liverpool, I know we did win, but we went a goal up there, threw it away. Bournemouth, we did it. Spurs, we did it 3 times. We need to stop doing this.
We do, but in my new unflappable, zen, positive, not in any way contrived New Year personality, I want to point out that that we brought it back and we dominated that game and we should have won it at the end, Michael.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, then again,
the last kick of the game was a clearance off the line.
It was, but then there was also that chance in extra in injury time when Benrahma put it to the far post and everyone went, no!
I in a moment of wild confidence as that happened, I went, let it go! Because I could see, because I was right behind it, I could see it was going out and I saw it was Antonio who came flying in. I thought, oh shit, that was a really bad call.
Yeah, from the cop, I thought Antonio was sliding that in.
I knew confidently he wasn't, so it was fine, Michael.
It's because you're very positive and confident.
That's exactly what I am. Stu Nick in the comments on YouTube saying, Rob's pretending to be optimistic with Dan. Michael, pull this back.
Well, just before we came on, I was saying we're terrible. And Rob was like, well, that was entertaining, wasn't it? And I described it as being entertaining, like watching two really drunk men fighting in a car park. You can watch it and go, well, it's a lot of stuff's happening.
You just don't want to be related to one of those people.
There's zero skill on show, but that's harsh. Actually, there were some good performances.
That's not
in there.
Fair, was it? It was two teams of a very similar ilk slugging it out.
Probably right. Yeah,
but it was good to see him slug it out rather than defend it out and grind it out to an awful 0-0. I'm well up for a 2-2 draw with controversy and swearing at a referee and goals and drama and late chances. You know, that was fun.
I mean, West Ham were trying to grind it out at 2-1 and at 2-2, weren't they? There was a lot of time wasting going on, which the referee really, really got to grips with, I thought. Did very well.
Yes, he managed it well, didn't he? It's funny, isn't it? It's like you contrast the refereeing in the World Cup, which did get a little bit out of hand sometimes, but with that tonight...
No, I had 17 minutes on, it's fine.
But I did feel like with Coote tonight, he just never quite had a grip of that game, did he? He gave the impression that he did, and he tried to command authority, but he didn't. He just never had control of it.
He gave some real mystery-free kicks, didn't he, that seemed a surprise to both teams, including, it's worth saying, I think the one we almost scored from at the end. That was one where maybe it was just before that. Anyway, it was towards the end of the game he gave us one, which seemed rare because he gave them quite a few, but he gave us a free kick and everyone just looked around and went, oh.
Yeah, it was telling that... when Marsh absolutely lost his shit in the second half over a throw-in and sort of wouldn't give them the ball and then was berating the fourth official, and eventually got booked. It was around that time Moyes was telling him to calm down. And then about a minute later, it was basically the exact same thing, but to West Ham. And Moyes completely lost his shit as well. I don't think the ref was helped by the lino, certainly the guy in front of the East Stand,
who
was missing absolutely everything.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah, he was bad, wasn't he? That way. Just, he was guessing. There were a couple of occasions when I watched him and I saw that a touch had happened and I thought, you just guessed that.
There were a couple of times where I think the ref, it was Coote, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think there was a couple of times he guessed as well, where there was something happened a bit off the ball and he looked over and saw someone on the floor and went, well, yeah, the free kick for that.
Well, the free kick in the first half that was central that he gave us, I can't remember if anything happened for me or not.
He didn't see that. I'm sure he didn't.
And I watched him and it happened behind him. He'd actually run past where the incident had happened and he gave that on the basis of the crowd's reaction. Because I said that to my dad. I was like, he's given that because the crowd shouted for it. And he went, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I've made a note of it. 21 minutes it was. Yeah, free kicks was ref didn't actually see it.
Yeah. By the way, Daniel and Reese both in the comments on YouTube saying that the ref was fine. Somerville could and should have gone.
Apparently, yeah, that did look bad.
Did he commit GBH as Reese is saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to blame the ref for it because he'd not given some free kicks on Somerville and he was really pissed off. But yeah, I must admit, I saw that and thought, don't go to VAR.
Was that the one that the West Ham bench went mad for?
Yeah, he did. Right. Basically put the guy onto the bench, I think, with the tackle. I've not obviously seen it back, but
good.
It did look quite bad, I have to say.
Really, what happened? Because obviously it was far side for me, that.
He just clattered in someone. It looked like he sort of, I think it was like knee to thigh or knee to knee sort of a tackle. He just leapt into someone.
Sounds like accidental to me, that.
It looked pretty hefty. There was a lot of weight behind
it. He's only
a
small boy.
That's true.
He can't be hefty, can he? Do you think that's why...
Still 10 stone on your leg is quite a lot, I would say.
Do you think that's why Marsh, for want of a better phrase, pulled him off immediately afterwards?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. So. I think he thought he's probably either going to get himself injured by being fouled by a West Ham player or get himself sent off by being daft.
Should we talk about Click now or should we save it for part 2 after we've done the game? Do you want to talk about Clicky?
Should we end it with him?
Yeah.
Talk about it at the end.
Yeah, because I just...
Because I don't want to cry in the middle of it.
I was going to say, I'm going to be too sad if we talk about him now.
Well, just to preempt that, Joe Donoghue has tweeted saying that Jesse Marsh says he told Mateus Click yesterday that he was sad to see him go. Click replied, I know, everyone is. Which is absolutely brilliant.
Very good.
Studs to Shin says...
Says
Biggie T. Should have been a red, but also should have been a Leeds free kick before that. So they balance each other out, don't they, really?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was definitely... I think it was on Somerville. I'm thinking this is the pattern of events. This is why I'm blaming the referee, because I think he'd missed a really obvious foul on Somerville. And Somerville therefore went, well, if we're not giving free kicks, I'm just going to fucking destroy someone's leg.
But he started badly, did the ref. And we don't want to get too caught up on him because what happened in the game, you know, the outcome wasn't really based on what he did. But it's just he had a bit of a shit performance, didn't he? Was the booking for Rodrigo at the start for the high foot, which there was no intent there whatsoever when he put his foot out. He was just trying to control a ball that was dropping.
Yeah, I thought that seemed unnecessary.
And then he booked it and then he set the tone for the
game.
But
he didn't, though, because then he didn't book anyone. He didn't book any West Ham players for anything until about... Was their first booking in about the 90th minute or something?
It was late.
I'm not sure. There was the similar sort of challenge where the West Ham player went to World Red Kick a clearance and Luke Ayling very bravely just saw that and thought, I'm going to headbutt his foot instead to get the free kick. Well, come on,
Bill. That was good, actually.
What other notes have you made? Because I don't make notes. It's all just up in here.
It's all up here, except it's not, because you're asking us what happened.
I know what happened in the game, Michael. I'd just like you to deliver it in a more orderly fashion than I can recount.
Okay,
vomiting something out of my brain.
What other notes have I got down there? I mean, there was a goal.
Should we talk about the goals? it's a good place to start. Let's do goals.
It's great, isn't it, Nonto?
He is really good. He took that very, very well as well. And I want to say, you know, for all that we sometimes bemoan the chaotic nature of penis ball and going through the middle and stuff, it was a very good example of when it works, how it can work, because that little interchange that led up to it was nice.
Yeah, it was a strange first half, because I thought we started off a little nervy, or they kind of started off having more of the ball, or it all seemed to be towards our goal anyway. And then we seemed to get more into the game in the middle of it, and I thought it was just that Rodrigo suddenly appeared, which helped sort of winning a few duels, because the ball just wouldn't stick, and then he sort of got into the game and dragged us up the field. And yeah, the way Nonto took that goal, him and Somerville linking up, just a lot of fun to watch.
They celebrated together as well, didn't they?
Yeah, it's very cute.
It's wholesome.
I think they do everything together now. There was Somerville, because I follow him on Instagram, put on a video the other day of him getting a haircut, and it was just a nice panning shot of his hair showing it's looking all very sharp and everything. But then the video panned around and there was Nonto playing FIFA.
Amazing.
It was just like, No, oh, he's got his little mate round.
Little bromance.
Oh, could you come round with my haircut so I don't get bored? It takes ages. We can play FIFA.
Do you reckon the players themselves, do you reckon they bemoan their own ratings? FIFA?
Probably, yeah.
They will do, won't they? They
but no, no, but Nonto's been our best player again, I would say, tonight.
He was good. I really enjoyed.
Do you think he's Premier League ready, Rob?
I mean, it does make you think, doesn't it? What the fuck was that all about?
And the rest of them.
Yeah, it's the other ones we need to worry about.
He was really good. I really enjoyed when Paqueta had the penalty. It was him that took it, wasn't it? Mm. And Nonto was just shouting at him as he ran up to take it.
Well, as my attention sort of drifted back over to that side of the stadium when you know when they'd done the whole VAR dance, I don't know if you noticed, but Nonto was stood on the penalty spot, wasn't he? Just being a bit naughty and a bit minxy, doing whatever he was doing.
It was Declan Rice who went over, wasn't it? I enjoyed Declan Rice's performance tonight. He was sort of, he thought he was the referee at one point, and then he seemed to think he was Steven Gerrard for the rest of it.
Yeah, he just hits, just wildly skewing shots, wasn't
he? And then he morphed into Bradley Johnson, skying it over the bar and putting it high, wide and handsome.
Yeah, so that was good. But no, I mean, the thing with Nonto is, he seems to be about the most responsible player we have as well in terms of actually wanting the ball and getting himself into a position where he can be passed to.
How old is he? 19?
He's a teenager, definitely. Yeah, 18
or 19. Were you a responsible teenager?
I suppose it was fairly, but I mean, I couldn't have played football.
Could you have carried a Premier League football team?
God, no. I know, he seems to actually just be the person who's like, right, fine, I'll have it.
Yeah.
Mm. If no one else is going to do anything, give it to me. It was a bit like in the kind of bad old days of when Snodgrass was our only good player, or McCormack, and you just had to give it to him and be like, right, just you do something, because we ain't got any ideas.
Especially when we are struggling to pass the ball and build up play, and he can just beat a few players. Mm. It's that thing like Sinisterra's got, where you just think, oh yeah, the game changes when you get the ball because everyone's pulled out of position and Ori wins a free kick.
Daniel Moroni does want to point out that he was happy to see Rodrigo end Declan Turncoat Rice. Presumably that's an Irishman though.
Yeah, he's they still haven't forgiven him.
Not happy about that. So when we went in front, I thought, oh good, this is nice. We can just have a nice, comfortable home win here.
Can't we?
A routine home win. But to be fair, at that point, we did look quite calm and in control, dare I say it, relative to the rest of the season.
Apart from the back four.
No, defending.
Wasn't necessarily the defending. It was when our back four got the ball, it just looked like a huge panic. And there was a lot of defenders arguing with Melier arguing with defenders. There was that awful moment when it was the classic space behind the fullback and Melier came out to clear it and it landed to a West Ham player on the halfway line. Who looks like he nearly scored from the halfway line. It was awful from the cop.
Yeah, there was a moment where you went,
yeah. My notes from the half hour, from the goal actually, to half time, are basically all of our defending being terrible. I put Cox passing to Ayling is scary. He was doing little chips over and stuff to him, which just seemed unnecessary. Then Cooper dithering, Somerville in the corner, a mess. I've put then Cooper booking, where that was when someone was running at him and he just seemed to take him out, and then we have the penalty.
Mm.
Which was a penalty, wasn't it?
I didn't see either the replay or the initial challenge, so I'm going to say no.
My initial thoughts were that it was a penalty.
Yeah, same.
Bloke behind me was listening on the radio at the same time, and he was saying that they were saying on the radio commentary that it was a stonewaller.
Yeah, I must admit, I saw it, and I was like, penalty, then it played on a bit, and they missed, and everyone went, and I was like, just wait a second.
I mean, I don't know what the exact rules are pertaining to this, but should that have gone back? Because if he'd have seen it and played an advantage, then it would have been allowed to continue because they got a scoring chance from it and missed, which is their own silly fault. But he then pulled it back. Is that because he didn't see the initial foul? I don't understand exactly how it works.
I just thought if that had happened to Leeds, I would be fuming if we didn't get a penalty.
Right.
It's very obvious.
What did happen then, sorry? I didn't see it, so it feels like unjust to me.
It was Bowen, wasn't it? Stroud dangled a leg, didn't he? And
usual bollocks.
I'm not sure how the build-up happened to that. It was suddenly just West Ham breaking and we had two defenders and I think they had at least three attackers.
Teams don't need build up against them.
it just happens, doesn't it?
There was another moment in the first half actually where it was eventually flagged for offside, but just like the Newcastle game, nothing was happening at all, and then there was a clearance and suddenly they were through on goal. And it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How can we be this out of shape that can happen? And it happened in the second half as well. I think we knocked it forward. Their defender cleared it, and all of a sudden they were pretty much through on goal.
But that's what happens when you just boot the ball forward sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, there was a lot of us just playing backwards, and when our defense was nervy on the ball, it was like, can we just stop? Can we start turning and looking forward and playing the ball forward? Like, stop giving the ball to Robin Koch, and it sort of plays into that the 100-70 thing as well. When Melier gets the ball and these people scream, you know, the fullbacks are pushing on, they're screaming for the to be rolled out to them. And Melier sort of waits and everyone gets back into shape. But it's like, don't wait, because then you're just letting them get back into shape and then rolling it short to Robin Koch.
Well, I was going to say, on that, that did change in the second half. Yeah. When we got the bit between our teeth, they started doing that and being a bit more impulsive and going for it. That's, and that's when we looked at our best when we were doing that. Yeah.
That's what I meant at the start. Like, when we kind of ditch that and just think, fuck it, let's go. It's so much better. And then you saw, after they went 2-1 up as well, you saw Adams and Rocker, who were both kind of frustrating me in the first half, they were suddenly snapping into tackles and they were looking forward. They were turning and playing forward and dribbling forward, and it just made all the difference.
You did see that there was an occasion, I think we started off quite brightly, I think, before we got in front. Fairly even contest, but I think we were all right. We were looking to pass through the lines, because I remember having a conversation with my dad saying, the difference between this and the Man City game is that they just did not give us the ability, Man City, to play through the lines, whereas we seem to be doing it a little bit early doors in this game. But then, for whatever reason, after we got in front, we then just started to hide a little bit. I think maybe the occasion got a bit too much for them all. And that's when they started doing it. Because do you remember there was that groan? I think it was at 1-1 or 2-1. Might have been at 2-1, because there was only a very small window between the goals, wasn't there, apart from the actual half-time break. But I'm going to say Rocker picked up the ball and he should have turned on it and moved forward with it. And he didn't, he went back. And there was that groan. And I remember thinking, people are right on the cusp of turning here.
Yeah, well, that was what West Ham's second goal came from, was Aronson playing the ball backwards, wasn't it? Or sidewards at least, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you just think, just turn, go forward, stop doing it.
Does Aronson need a little break out of the team, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
When was he last any good?
He's gone off the boil a bit, hasn't he?
And Harrison came on and was good. Yeah. So I think that's given us the excuse to go, right, well, that obviously is going to change.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then I think questions need to be asked, really, because, yeah, he's not been good for quite a while, has he? He's spent, prior to this, I know we've not had much of the ball in an attacking sense, but he's spent an awful lot of it rolling about, and then he's given them an assist, so...
Yeah, not his finest day, but you know, this happens, and he is only young, and he'll play his way back into form, only that's the thing.
Yeah, eventually, maybe.
Come on, optimism, Michael. Come on.
Yeah!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I really enjoyed Luke Ayling tonight as well. I thought he had a bit of a wobble at times. A
couple of moments.
Like around the hour mark, I thought, oh God.
And a few crosses that were a bit...
But just getting forward and getting on the ball and dribbling forward. Like I say, when we are struggling to build the ball from defence to midfield to attack, having a player who just gets on the ball and dribbles, it kind of means you don't need to do that really. I don't think Rasmus tends not to do that, I don't think.
I tell you who likes dribbling out of defence? Diego Llorente.
Emma is asking in the, Emma Louise Oakley is asking in the comments, can we talk about Jack Harrison turning back into Jackie Harrison finally? He came out of he came out of the telephone booth like Superman. He's no longer Clark Kent again, is he? He's got his powers back.
I don't think he was ever terrible this season, was he? Why did he end up out of the team? Did he get injured or something?
He was creating all those chances at the start of the season. It did, that kind of dried up and he was getting a bit frustrating, but it did, he gave an interview in the break saying, yeah, I've been carrying an injury all this time. And that's feels a bit like why he's been kind of eased back a little bit after the break. But yeah, I thought it was the best he's played for ages tonight when he came on. He made a real difference.
But did he get the assist for the equaliser?
Yes.
Hey, it's funny, I need to do a bit of a mea culpa. And you know when Rodrigo had that chance a minute before he scored, it was ultimately given offside. But I was sort of quietly chanting to myself under my breath, 27 million quid.
He's
just put it, I shooting, because he kind of dragged it right across goal, didn't he? And it didn't matter.
My note says Rodrigo goal a second after I wanted him off.
Yeah. I've got,
and then he took it like an absolute worldie, didn't it? It was brilliant. Yeah. What a finish.
Okay, good, well done. Yeah. It's kind of the season he's having.
Always liked you.
Oh, he scored again. Brilliant. Well done.
The thing is, you can tolerate those misses from strikers when they put it in like that, can't you? That's the thing.
Yeah. He's so enigmatic, isn't he? Like, I can't work him out at all. I think I've got a note of 53 minutes, and it was just, is Rodrigo knackered? Because he was just sort of sauntering around. But, and then likewise, the finish that you brought up, which was offside, but it was such a scuffed, weak, crap.
He dragged
finish.
It right across, yeah.
He just had no conviction. And then he gets the ball on the edge of the box for Farrison and just smashes it in. Mm. He's so confusing. And I'm a bit like you, where you think, oh, well done, mate. But you can't argue with it, can you?
No. It's like scoring loads of goals.
If you keep scoring like that, then you can. I mean, even if he's not as mobile as you might want a forward to be, if he keeps scoring, then fine.
Some of his more frustrating moments are when there was a bit in the first half where he was holding it up and it was the wrong time to hold it. It was like, no, you keep moving forward at this point. What are you doing? He's some of his decision making is a bit weird, but
then that's
scoring plenty of goals.
That's not atypical for the whole team, is it? It's like they're all sometimes a little bit second guessy. Like you tend to get that vibe from Robin Koch quite a lot when he's in possession of the back. And I don't know whether that's as a result of what happened against Man City with the whole mess up between him and Cooper, where Grealish just ran through and tapped it across for Haaland, or what, whether they just get in their own heads sometimes.
But he's scoring goals, which is more than can be said about Gelhard, who once again didn't score.
Yeah. How many minutes did we have? Two, three minutes and he did nothing.
Did you see him?
poor boy.
Did you see him rush back to the bench because he thought he was coming on about 70 minutes?
I noticed he went to warm up, and then we just brought Jackie on.
Sit down, it's too early.
It was him and Sam Greenwood rush back to the bench, and then Jesse was like, oh no, it's only Sam I'm bringing on. Sorry, mate. And he had to run back to the car.
I think Chris's tongue may be firmly in cheek here in the comments saying, when we accidentally played it wide because it got too congested, we looked so much better. It is quite indicative, wasn't it, that one of those moves that happened down the right-hand side was when Bothclick and Ayling were on, and they did that little interchange of play together, and Ayling went on the overlap, and you're like, I recognise that. Mm. I recognise it. Going wide and putting it across. It sometimes works.
That lack of width, I don't think it helps us defensively either. That's the thing, because I think the idea of it is that it makes you more compact, but all it actually means is that the Benrahma one where he put it across is because he was just stood in loads of space, because I know we were pushing forward, so maybe it's not a fair time.
I mean, that does happen,
to highlight
doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
But it felt like it feels like we're so narrow that if someone peels off to one side, and then can beat their man, it just, the whole shape of the team just completely falls apart as soon as that has happened, which maybe isn't the way it's designed, but it is the way it works.
Just going to some of the post-match comments, Marsh has talked about playing with more bravery. So when Marsh has talked tonight, this is Phil, about Leeds playing with more bravery, he's talked about them summoning their inner clicky, which really underlines how big an influence he is or has been. It's funny, isn't it, that they're still letting him go.
Yes,
because Click comes on. He doesn't give a shit, does he? He just takes the game by the scruff of the neck, you know, and makes things happen.
He did at one point just twat it miles up into the air into the this game, which is a bit weird.
But I wonder if in the back of his mind he's there thinking, could I finish my Leeds career with a worldie? So you kind of forgive him a little bit that, don't you? More than others, maybe. He's got a lot of credit in the bank.
He certainly has. Yeah, I'm never convinced. But I don't like it when Jesse just talks about bravery and moments and that sort of stuff, because I think it
just tells you. Like, just tells you hate him, Michael. Go on.
Well, I just think it doesn't...
Because he's American, isn't it? That's why you're hating.
I don't think it begins to address the actual problems, just to say, oh, well, we just... You might as well just come out and say, oh, we just need to do that
better. You might as well sit in here and burn the stars and stripes, Michael. Disgraceful. Honestly.
It's meaningless, isn't it? Just to go, we should do all that stuff better, and then we'd win games, wouldn't we? It's the same as me, as a joke, saying you should just kick it really hard into the net.
Yeah.
What do you mean
a joke?
Should have kicked it harder.
What do you mean a joke?
Nonto did kick it hard.
He did.
Good that. He could have placed it, kicked it out instead.
We've got 3-4 who's saying, I'm American. No evidence of it. Says, I'm American and I don't want to hear any more vibes talk from Marsh. Don't want to hear any more about bravery or courage or any of that stuff.
Well, it's
there we go. Case dismissed, Your Honour.
It definitely has a part to play in performances, but I feel like there are major structural problems that could maybe be addressed as well. Like the fact that you can just knock a ball over the top and be through on goal over and over again.
Hey, listen, you know we kind of, you're a bit negative and down on our performances on occasions. You're not convinced yet, should we say, by where this is heading. I've just had a text from one of my mates. Neil's just said they already want Jones out at Southampton.
Well, that's not surprising.
So we could be Southampton fans.
I did on the face of it, because as much as I'm not convinced by Jesse, if they said, we're sacking him and we're getting Nathan Jones, I'd have been like, oh, for fuck's sake. Is there no one else? So yeah, be careful what you wish for, I suppose. And West Ham fans wanted want Moyes out. Everton fans want Lampard out.
With justification.
So yeah.
Let's hope he should stay. He should stay.
Lampard needs more time.
I mean, I think it's like a clickbait nonsense story from TalkSport, but have you seen who was the favourite for the Everton job if they get rid of him?
Is it Moyes, did I say?
No. Along the right lines, former Everton boy.
Duncan Ferguson?
Wayne Rooney.
Oh, of course. Well, that's where Clicky's gone, isn't it?
Put Click play manager.
It'd well, there was wild talk of Lampard and Moyes swapping jobs to all intents and purposes, which would be funny. So maybe Lampard could help relegate two clubs in one season.
Well, he knows the club, doesn't he? Both of them know the club.
He does. Should we talk about Clicky then? Because he's off. Anybody who didn't see that at the end, I mean, I hung around thinking, is this him going to be saying goodbye? And it actually was, to an extent, far greater than I anticipated. In that he was doing the lap of honour, or lap of appreciation, whatever you want to call it, with the rest of the players. And the cop sang his name. And then you saw him kind of starting to cover his face a little bit. I thought, is that him just, is he just wiping sweat from his eyes, or is he getting upset? And I thought, now he's getting upset. Mm-hmm. And then people kind of cottoned onto it. And all the other players then sort of gravitated towards him. And there was a moment then it was over in front of the East Stand where they all kind of swarmed around him. And then I thought, oh, this is the end of it. And I felt quite emotional, actually.
Yeah, I did. And then I felt emotional while it was happening. And then as soon as it was over, I went, they fucked that up.
Oh, what are you bitching and moaning about now? Should they have told us?
They should have told people it was happening.
But maybe he didn't. Like, some people don't like him fuss making.
They did print T-shirts.
They had a video on the screen, which they played even though you couldn't hear what was being said because it's the PA system. There was a video of Pablo was on the screen at one point, I noticed, saying something about him. But obviously, you can never hear a fucking thing through that Leeds PA system, can you? We've only ever used it to sonically destroy Norwich City on that occasion. But yeah, I felt like he was doing his lap to probably a third full Elland Road, and if they told people, it would have been more or less completely full. And I think he deserved that.
Just a reminder that everything in life's transient, Michael, isn't it? Don't get too hung up on it.
Yeah, but they could have just done it better. They had it all lined up. They had the T-shirts. They had the video.
It got a guard of honour. What more do you want, man?
It was empty.
The way you saw the club staff sprint across the pitch by the time he'd got to the south stand, because he was like, "Oh fuck, we've got these T-shirts. What we forgot."
He can put them on for 6 seconds while he walks off the pitch.
It was clumsy. It wasn't perfect. But what can you do at the end of a game? You don't know for sure whether they wanted to announce it before he was going. You don't know whether that's his decision or theirs or what, you know.
But yeah, I didn't even realise it was like a compilation of his goals on the big screen. I assumed it was just highlights of the game. Mm. And then I saw him, Ayling was giving him a big hug in front of the cop. And then, yeah, he started to wipe his eyes and Ayling was sort of clapping along to the song. And I think it was Jack Harrison pointing at him, he thought, oh right, yeah. And then again, and then I looked at the screen, I was like, oh shit. And it was really sad. Like I really enjoyed that second half and I thought it was really fun and exciting. And then I was waiting to sort of get out of the cop and then saw that and I was like, I felt bereft all of a sudden. I was like, no, I don't want him to go. I really enjoy watching him play football.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it, when you realise that everything moves on.
I think I feel a bit sad about it as well, because it wasn't a proper goodbye, and we didn't get, I know that wasn't the club's fault, but we didn't get a proper goodbye for like Pablo or for Berardi either. It feels like we're one way or another, all the goodbyes that should be big and emotional have been kind of knackered
up. But how often do you genuinely get that in football anyway? Nobody gets a clean ending, really, does it?
That could have been if they just said, he's off, by the way, you might want to stay and clap him. I don't know. That's all it would have taken.
But it's also sad though, because I think he's got something to offer still, and fair enough, he's got this 3-year deal in MLS, and I do think it'll be fun to watch him in MLS, but he improves us when he comes off the bench and we need to replace him.
Well, on that, Rob.
He's blocking the pathway, Rob.
Comments. I'm just sort of got a column here open in TweetDeck with all the journalists reporting on it, and the general consensus vibe seems to be that they think they've got enough.
The pathway.
Which I think is naive in the extreme. Or maybe they're just saying that to keep, you know, ward people off with a window now.
Roger's on it, doing another Adam Forshaw tweet. Has he got it in the draft?
I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem weird, because the other week, he seems to exist in two worlds, does Click, doesn't he? Because Marsh is saying how he uses him all the time and he's the example. But then he's letting him go and we're letting him go and not playing him very much.
And just to compound this, in the presser, Marsh has said that Forshaw's had a little procedure.
You're joking.
So he's going to be out for a few days.
You'd be telling me like Pat Bamford's not 100%.
So just, I don't know, if there's ever a situation where you're screaming, learn the lesson, this is it. But, you know, we don't know if...
I do really like the bits I've seen of JB.
Yeah.
He's not really the same player though, is he?
Not really, yeah.
No. Like, Marsh seems to see Click as a 10. And again, today he sort of brought him on as an attacking midfielder. And JB's not that guy, is he? And he's moved Greenwood back into this more central midfield position. Mm. And that would seem like a huge risk to me.
Just going back to further comments from the presser, Marsh is frustrated and confused by the team not playing forward enough tonight. Not happy with the first half display and wants to see more of what happened from his team after going behind.
The not playing forward thing's interesting because half the time you can see why they do it because you go, well, yeah, there was no one to pass to.
Yeah, that so is the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
That if there's no one in space, sometimes I think we get some of our worst moments are when we do play forward because we think, oh shit, we've got to play forward. But you end up passing it to Matt Rocker, who's got a man like up his ass, and he's going to nick the ball off him. And if he does get the ball nicked off him, they're going to be on goal.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's about, are the players good enough to receive the ball in that situation and do something with it? Are they brave enough to do that? Or are we asking too much of them by asking them to play like that? It's kind of quite hard to...
Well, that's why speeding things up makes things so much easier, and getting Melier to roll the ball out quicker, because it means the opposition aren't set in place and you're not having to play through 11 men and completely in formation. It's really straight. I just find it doesn't tally up with what Marsh wants when he wants his teams to be fast and aggressive and all intensity, and then he's asking his keeper with fullbacks in loads of space to calm down.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah, and then you see the ball bowled out and they do the little triangles of passing and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, I get it, because, you know, game management, there is a time for that, like, fair enough, but not when there's a game to be won, I don't think.
Mm. No, I think it's fair comments. Any other thoughts then before we head off? I'm just, I think we've covered off most of the notes that I've got here. Clicky, no replacement, for sure, small procedure. Coot, groan. Anything else you'd like to add?
That chance at the end. It'd been nice if that had gone in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I felt this one was going to be a draw.
Hey, we've worked on some free kicks.
Yeah, that was a nice one. That the one where they did the double feint was good, and then it went over to Rodrigo, I'm going to say, was it?
Mm-hmm.
When he absolutely twatted in it, hit someone in the bollocks. That was funny.
Yes,
so that's good entertainment.
He kind of miss hit that, didn't he? But
some good entertainment. But he absolutely just leathered it. He put his foot through it, and it hit a man.
Liam Cooper's chance as well.
I was just about to mention Cooper's chance.
Was that the one at the end as well?
Yeah, it was a good header. But then, if there's a single player in the team who's right foot, you probably don't want it to drop to.
Yeah.
Very quickly as well, to be fair to him.
A centre half on his wrong foot.
Yeah. What could have been?
So
a draw was probably fair, wasn't it?
I think overall that's the right result, you know. And are you happy with it, most of all? we need to start winning a few of these winnable games. That's the only nagging concern I've got, because it's so bunched up down there in the bottom half of the table.
God, we needed to win it, didn't we?
Probably.
Because they were not very good, and I feel like we gifted them goals. Well, we did. we absolutely did. There's no debate about it, is that we gave them a penalty and we passed it directly to them on the edge of the box. I know they had other chances too, but the two they scored from were ones we just put on a plate for them.
One final thought then. Chris Sheesby in the comments is saying, Rodrigo, 10 goals, sign a striker, ? Well, yes, I think is the simple answer, especially as Pat Bamford might be going over Rainbow Bridge at any time. We just don't know, do we? He can't be relied on to come back. And as I said before, it's not fair to put that on him, I don't think, from when he comes back. He needs to work his way back in. He's not played for a year. So,
over a year.
Sign a striker. And as I think it was JFK who said, the time to mend the roof is when the sun is shining.
Is the sun shining? Did you see the weather in Leeds?
It's a metaphor, it's an analogy.
The sun was not shining.
It's horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, in the sense of that, if Rodrigo's scoring goals, that's not an excuse to not get somebody else. If Rodrigo's scoring goals, get more goals.
I think we do need someone else. And I think, and maybe a different type of striker as well, because it occasionally doesn't work, does it? With, like, against Newcastle, I know there was very little in the way of attacking, but I feel like someone who could hold the ball up better may have had more of an impact in that game. So having some options there would be nice.
Absolutely. But overall, a decent point, if not exactly what we needed under the circumstances. Like you said, Robbie, I think most of all it was quite an enjoyable game, wasn't it, really? Good end-to-end Premier League, either side could have won it kind of vibe. Do you enjoy that entertainment? Like, are you not entertained, Norman?
I was entertained. But I find it so stressful to watch.
I still have no idea whether any good, but I just think, I'll worry about that when we're in the relegation zone, and I'll just take that and I'll enjoy it. Especially after Man City and Newcastle, which were pretty dreary occasions. I just thought, back in Elland Road.
It was nice to see it be competitive in a game.
Yeah, it was. It was. And there were some fun bits.
Yeah. Just enjoy the fun bits. Just
enjoy the fun bits.
And we've got another fun bit coming up against Cardiff on Sunday when the FA Cup run starts, haven't we? So looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I am, because it feels like there's nothing at stake with a cup anymore. I don't expect us to do anything. Sort of, if you go into stuff with zero expectations, you can't be disappointed, can you?
Yeah, you can really brush an FA Cup defeat off these days.
Well, we always lose at Cardiff. Right then, we will wrap it up there then, I think. And because the building alarm comes on in a bit, so we better get the heck out of here. Thank you for joining us on the Match Ball. We will return. There'll be another Match Ball after Cardiff. Probably something in between times.
Yeah, we'll come and
do something.
Do something.
Yeah. There'll be a Phil Hay show in between times as well. So, 17 from 17. Point per game still on target for that 38-point finish. At the
scored,
end of the season.
Scored two goals today, Dan. That's 2 points.
But do you know what? Actually,
you need to stop it. It's fine. I'm only winding you up. Just turn it off.
On that, our goal difference is better than a lot of teams down there, and we keep scoring. If we weren't scoring at all, then I'd be more worried.
It's true.
I agree.
On that happy, optimistic note, we'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.